stand with me, Psalm 107, and let me preach. Amen. Beginning here in verse number 1 for our reading, and then I'll give you the verses here. We'll skip down to verses we want to preach from. The Bible said, in starting this psalm, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." What are we supposed to say? Amen. That the Lord is good.
Amen.
That his mercy endureth forever.
Yes.
Amen. That he has redeemed us. Where has he redeemed us? Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And so I think we pick up right from the get-go that this psalm is going to be another one of those psalms that is about giving God thanks.
Yes, sir.
We're challenged right off from the very first verse. Jump down with me, if you will, at verse number 21. Verse 21 is a repetitive verse. By that, I simply mean it shows up over and over throughout this psalm. And here we find it again. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 22, see if this sounds familiar, "and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He bringeth them out of their distresses." Verse 28, interestingly, is another repetitive verse that goes throughout this psalm if you read it in its entirety. And so the Bible said in verse 29 and 30, "He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven." Amen. We'll leave off our reading there. You can be seated. Let's pray a moment and ask the Lord for some help. We'll give you our thought. Heavenly Father, thank you today for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord. We've heard it taught, and Lord, be a challenge in our heart already this morning. And for that, we're grateful. We're thankful, Lord, we can gather in the congregation today. And then, Lord, we sing these songs that have stirred our heart. The testimonies, Lord, have just been on point and have caused our minds to think about our God and what he is and what he's done. And, Lord, we owe everything we are to you today. It's been your power, your hand, your strength, your holiness, Lord, that has made us what we are. And for that, we simply say thank you. Now, Lord, I pray for just a few moments through these few thoughts you've laid upon our heart. Lord, would you give us strength and wisdom, Lord, to apply these truths and principles, Lord, to lives today. I pray this morning our hearts would be stirred and encouraged and comforted and blessed, and that, Lord, we might indeed do what the text has commanded us to do, to give thanksgiving with rejoicing. And Lord, for what you do, Lord, we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name again we pray. Amen and amen. This psalm is one that magnifies the Lord in his saving power. I pointed out as we read just a moment ago that verse number 28 is a recurring statement and sentence throughout this psalm that just simply is magnifying the fact that the people of God at different times in their lives, Brother Ronnie, they find themselves in a trouble. They find themselves in a place of distress. They find themselves in a place that they cannot exit on their own power, but God comes to where they are, and God is the one that seems to, from each situation, be delivering them. And if I can use the term this way, saving them along life's way. And so I think this psalm is one magnifying the Lord in His saving power, and simply calls upon the redeemed to praise and to give the Lord the thanks that He is deserving of. And again, we point out verse number 1 of this psalm, the opening line, will give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. And understanding that His mercy endureth forever, that is true in our life today as much as it was in the psalmist's life so many thousands of years ago. And so we ought to give the Lord thanks. And in particular, the children and men are emphasized. And I would say today that beyond just the children and men, that Brother Maurice, that in particular, those that have been saved by the Lord are in particular called upon, amen, to engage in this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them say that they're thankful. Let them say that the Lord is good. Let them acknowledge and say that the mercy of the Lord endures forever. Those that the Lord has redeemed out of the hand of the enemy are in particular, my friend, I believe, called upon and emphasized as to be those instruments and agents of thanksgiving to the Lord for what that He is doing. As we think about His saving power throughout this psalm, I won't preach all this, but as you make your way down to the text verses we've read this morning, we'll focus just on those. But you'll find there are several different ways that the psalmist illustrates the saving power of the Lord in our life. In verses 1 through 9, we find that our God saves those scattered in the desert. Amen. He gathered them, verse number 3, out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. He talks about being hungry and thirsty and fainting. And then they cry to the Lord. And the Lord comes to where they are. He brings them out and delivers them. And the Lord is saving those that are scattered in the desert. In verses 10 through 16, you'll find that our God saves those shackled in the dungeon. He speaks of those that the enemy has taken prisoner. And those that, my friend, are held captive, and in their captivity, they again cry to the Lord. The Lord hears their cry. The Lord comes to them in their trouble and delivers them and saves them from their distresses. And what an illustration of the saving power of our God in our lives. Amen. I remember when I was enslaved to sin, shackled, my friend, to the god of this world. Amen. And I'm thankful the Lord heard my cry and saved me. Amen. The shackles in the dungeon I was in verses 17 through 22, you find that He saves those suffering on the deathbed. He speaks of those that because of some transgression they've allowed into their life have been chastened of the Lord. Their soul has been afflicted, maybe even their body has been afflicted. They're there laying there without hope under the judgment and the chastening hand of God. And yet in that trouble they cry to God for grace and mercy. And God hears them, and God grants them repentance, and God does a work in their life, and He saves them again in the suffering on their deathbed. And the verses that we want to deal with this morning in particular quickly is verses 21 down through verse number 30. And here we find that our God and His saving power for which we are to be thankful is that He saves those sailing in the deep. And the psalmist here says again, as he has said so many times, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works unto the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. And so He is calling upon us. Are you redeemed? Do you know that God is good? Do you know the mercy of the Lord endures forever? Amen. Are you of that crowd that has been brought out of sin and saved from its destruction and saved from its hold? Are you of that crowd that that has been set free from the shackles of sin? Are you of that crowd that under chastening has learned that God, amen, can bring you out of whatever condition you're in and raise you up again? Amen. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for that display of goodness and give sacrifices of thanksgiving. Of course, that brings us back to the book of Leviticus and what we dealt with in Leviticus 7 on Wednesday night. Amen. That of the peace offering being given, if it be a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And that we're to offer that and to give that unto the Lord for, amen, the forgiveness of sin, restored fellowship. Amen. The blessings of God that would befall a man in that dispensation of time. Amen. Upon his life, if he just simply wanted to acknowledge to God that God had given him something he did not deserve, he could bring a peace offering as a means of thanksgiving. Thus, it was called the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so the psalmist no doubt has that in mind in this psalm. And no doubt in my mind as we meditate upon each of these emphases of the saving power of our God, they would all demand a sacrifice of thanksgiving for what that God did when He saved our soul and how He saved our life. Amen. Since He saved our soul and what He is doing day by day in our life. Amen. But in the context, I believe there's something in particular as He makes His way down through here, calling upon us, be stirred in your heart, be rejoicing, be thankful. And that is, be thankful that God has saved you while sailing in the deep. Now, in these text verses, we find the call again given unto those who have sailed in deep waters to thank God for that they have witnessed, my friend, as wonders of God in our life. As we consider this in verse number 23, he said, now in particular, those that really ought to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving with rejoicing is those that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters. Amen. These are those that God has led, my friend, into the pool, out of the shallow end of the pool, and has caused them to sail in deep waters, taking them, amen, beyond their wildest imagination, has taken them further than they ever dreamed that they could go. And yet, my friend, the business that they are in, amen, they are called upon to sail in the deep. Amen. Now with this, the Bible said, the psalmist said, and in doing this, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Amen. There are those in my friend, they go beyond that shallow place. And go beyond ankle deep water and knee deep water and even hip deep water. And God has caused them to sail in the deep waters. Out there, my friends, a lot of fear. We're going to see in a moment. Amen. In the deep waters, my friend, there's a lot of things that's out of our control. In the deep waters, there are things that are there that and the eye looks at and it causes a certain melting of our heart. Amen, friend, we do not know what to do with. Amen, when the psalmist said it's in those times, it's while sailing in the deep, and in particular when the storms arise in the deep waters, and those that have sailed there have seen things others have not seen. And God's wonders have been revealed to them. And God's mighty power and His wonderful works have been on display through the storms that have sailed through. Amen. And I believe that in our Christian life, and there are times God launches us out into the deep. There are times that He says to you and I, amen, that we must go to the other side. Amen. And so that means we leave the shallow ground, the shallow waters. Amen, friend, we sail into the deep. Amen, friend, like the disciples in the Lord's earthly ministry many times, we find ourselves in the middle of the sea and in the midst of the sea.
And in the middle of the night, when we can't see our hand in front of our face, that's when the greatest storms arise. Amen. But I'm glad that I can report we still have reason to be thankful, in particular, great thanksgiving on behalf. Amen. As we sail through the great depths and sail through the tempest and the stormy seas of life. Amen. For it is those, the redeemed of God, that have seen some things and witnessed some things and possessed some things that this world will never know. Amen. And so I'm going to preach just simply on the thought this morning. Amen. The land of thanksgiving. Just preaching on thanking God through the tempest.
Amen.
Thanking God through the tempest. The verses that follow this call to give the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And doing so as we sail the deep waters for the wonders we have witnessed. Are a particular revelation that we would meditate upon what we have seen and what we have been given in the midst of the tempest that we sailed through. And so I don't know where you're at today. I remember many years ago Brother Joe Arthur was preaching, and he's an exhorted preacher, an encouraging preacher, and preaches a lot on valleys and storms and battles. And that just seems to be his niche, and I'm thankful for God's man. But I remember him saying one time in a message, he said, you're either in a storm or coming out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into another storm. And in a lot of ways, that would maybe discourage you of that. Amen. But as we think about our Christian life, I believe that would surely be the testimony of many children of God's lives. And our Christian lives are lived from day to day. Amen. Going into a storm, out of a storm, and then back into another storm. And yet, as discouraging as that may sound, the psalmist seems to be regathering our thoughts. He seems to be, amen, giving a spiritual realignment that, amen, gives a positive outlook on that, not a negative outlook on that. Amen. That if that is the case, amen, we ought to be more thankful than anybody. Amen. We ought to be more thankful. We ought to have more rejoicing, not less rejoicing. Amen. To know that our God has brought us through the tempest. Amen. Thanking God through the tempest. Amen. A sacrifice and all there ought to be. Amen. Many sacrifices of thanksgiving on this altar at some point. Amen. This Lord's Day, for the fact that our God, amen, has brought us in the deep waters. Brother, he didn't bring us there to drown us. He didn't bring us there. Amen. That our sin would go down. But he's brought us there. And he might work his wonders in our life. Amen. That in the end of all of it, and somehow through all of it, amen, we would give the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Amen. Thanking God through the tempest. Let me give you three things today. Amen. Real quickly, out of the text, and I'll be done. I think I preached 30 minutes Wednesday night, and I'll be rattling that this morning. Amen. Amen. Thanking God through the tempest. Preacher, how in the world do we give the sacrifice of thanksgiving? How in the world do we thank God through the tempest? Well, number one, you can thank Him because our God commands the storms. Our God commands in the storms. In this, the psalmist is going to say, amen. Notice here, he said, for He commanded, verse 25. I love that statement, for He commanded. Amen. He's the one who commands us to get the boat. He's the one who commands us to go the other side. Amen. He's the one that commands the way. He's the one, He's the one that, actually in the text verse there, verse 25, for He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. And so the psalmist lays hold on the truth, and that is, while you sail in the deep waters, Amen. While you're sailing and the old ship is sank. Amen. He not only commanded you to get in the boat, but he's the one that commands the rising of the storms in your life. Amen. He's the one that brings hope. Amen. I thought about this in regard of our thanksgiving. Amen. And we ought to thank God that he controls and commands the beginning of our storms. In fact, I wrote it down this way. Amen. For he commandeth, he controls when they begin. He controls where they go. He controls how big they get. And he controls how long they stay. Amen. For he commanded. Amen. Sometimes we think, boy, you know, of this world and others have brought a lot of storms into my life. Amen. But according to the text, the storms we face, they are commanded by our God. Amen. They're not there because of what you done. Amen. Even if you done something, and they're not there because of what others have done, even if they've done something. Amen. Our God is in absolute control tonight. Amen. He commands the sunny days and the stormy wind. Amen. He commands the good times as well as the bad times. You say, preacher, you believe that? And we're living in a day, man, they think God only is commanded and only in control when things are going good. I won't take the time to do it. We'll get there when we get there. This psalm and preach it in its entirety. But later in the psalm, he's going to say, our God, he takes the flowing rivers and he turns them into a wilderness. And he takes the land that has green crops. And he brings famine into the land. And then the psalmist said he'll turn around after he's done that and reverse it all back to what it was to begin with. What is the point of this? What is the truth in the psalmist's life? You and I have to recognize, and in recognizing, give God thanks for it. It is for this fold that our God is in command. Amen. I know we've been through some storms. Our country's been through some storms. Amen. Some of our families have been through some storms. And our church has been through some storms. And sometimes it leads us where the psalmist said, amen, even in this text said, amen, those waves and winds as they mount up, it seems like, amen, we're thrown as high the heavens are, only to be led down, man, through the deeps again. Amen, he said their soul is melted because of trouble. And so sometimes when the storms really reach it, amen, we feel like, amen, we're melting away. Amen, we feel like there's more trouble than we can handle. Amen, and it gets so bad, the psalmist said, amen, they mount up to the heaven. Amen, verse 27 is what I'm looking for. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Amen, you know what the psalmist is saying? Amen, I believe he's identifying with it. I believe this psalmist has been through a storm or two. And the psalmist said, I know what it's like when that trouble sets in. I know what it's like to reel to and fro. Amen, you stagger around it. And you feel like you ain't got your legs under you. Amen, he said, they get to the place when you feel like, amen, in the trouble, in the storm you're in, you're at your wit's end. Amen, you say, what's that mean? That just literally means you have exhausted every ounce of wisdom, every ounce of knowledge, every ounce of experience you've ever had. Amen, and you're left there going, dear God, everything is out of my control. Amen, you say, preacher, it's then we surely cannot thank God. And surely it's then God don't expect a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I believe the psalmist has said, amen, when it's beyond your control, understand. And our God commands the storms, and be thankful. And when it's beyond you, it's not beyond him. I know that's simple today, but let's be honest about it. Amen, Brother Larry, it may be simple, but most of us can't even live in that simple truth.
Right.
Amen. The storms mount up, we fall apart. Amen. I've been there. Amen. I surely am not speaking down. I'm preaching, amen, against myself, I guess, as much as anything. Amen. But we'll run, my friend, the pills, and run the philosophies, and run the counselors, and not even preaching against all of that other than to say, amen, the greatest medicine in the soul that is melting to cause in trouble, amen, is to thy faith cling to the fold and the fact that he commandeth, he's in charge, and he's in control, that, amen, all you're whining about it, and mad ain't going to do nothing about it. Amen, it won't settle the winds, it won't bring peace to our soul. Amen, but when we realize that our God commands the storms, that, amen, there's a wonder and an amazement, amen, and a faith that springs from that. Amen, in fact, let me read you this, and it seems like, amen, we keep coming back to this lately. Amen, but in the Lord's earthly ministry, Luke 8, and in verse number 22, that came to pass on a certain day. And he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake, and they longs for it. Amen. And so he gave a command. They didn't bow up about it. Amen. They said, yes, sir, Lord, whatever you say. Amen. Wherever you send, whatever direction you send. And they got in the boat and they lost, my friend, not knowing what was ahead. I don't even believe in that moment they cared what laid in front of them. Amen. They're just doing what the Savior said. But verse 23 said, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? In other words, he said, here you are, amen, all bothered and worried and fretting and troubled. Amen. Now listen, the Lord rebuked them for a lacking that was in their faith. Amen. The Lord said, where is your faith? Amen. Now all of a sudden they realize we have a faith problem. And they began to consider everything that just went through. And here's what they said. And they being afraid, wonder, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded. Amen. It may have seemed like he wasn't interested. It may have seemed like that him being asleep and he was lacking in some kind of power. And when that friend, the Lord brought him through the storm and said, where's your faith? Amen. They were left saying, our Savior is a commanding Savior. For he commanded, amen, even the winds and water, and they obeyed him. Amen. You know what they learned through the tempest? You know what they can say, thank you, Lord, for? Amen. They learned an invaluable lesson for the days that would lie ahead. And that is, we thank our God through the tempest. And he is a God that commands the storms.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So let's quit our whining and start our worshiping.
That's right.
Amen. 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 Let's quit feeling sad for ourselves and start magnifying the Lord. Amen. That he is a God that commands the storm. Number two, our God not only commands the storm, but in this text I see we thank God through the tempest for the thought that our God calls the storm. Our God calls the storms. And in fact, amen, may I add here, bridging the first point to the second, and because the Lord commands the storms, he is able to calm the storms. If he ain't in control, there ain't no calm going to come.
Right.
And so the psalmist said, amen, the psalmist said, I know what it's like to be in the deep waters. I know what it's like for that wind to fall upon the vessel and upon the seas upon which we're sailing. He said, I know what it's like to reel to and fro. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be lit with your soul melted. I know what it's like to stagger. Amen. On the ship and on the vessel and cling to the side and scream for your life. Amen. I know what it's like. The soul is saying to get it with you. He said that this much I know. Amen. I know what it is when the Lord steps in. Amen. And notice what the Bible said in verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm. Amen. Ain't you thankful for that? Amen. Ain't you thankful that our God can make the storm a calm? Amen. Oh, I'm glad. I'm thankful. And we serve a God that can calm the storms. Amen. When you can't, my friend, resist the wind. Amen. When it's gotten bigger than you can get, it's rent your sails and battered your bone in the waves and got in the ship. Amen. I'm glad we serve a God that can calm the storms. Amen. Oh, well, again, I don't know why Brother Joe keeps coming up today. Amen. But he preached that infamous message. Amen. Called the eye of the storm. Amen. When the Lord came, my friend walking to them disciples again in another storm that they were in. Amen. They were in fear and seeing the Lord coming their way. And supposed him to be a spirit. And when the Lord spoke to them, he said, fear not. It is I, and be not afraid. And when Job preached that message on the eye of the storm. And he said he's watching the news one day. And that hurricane, whichever one it was, is coming and getting ready to make landfall. And that meteorologist, amen, began to talk about the eye of that hurricane. Amen. And all on the outside, amen, them outer bands, my friend, were filled with wind and filled with rain and filled with tempest. Amen. Tornadoes were being spun off. And but Joe said, but that meteorologist said, amen, right there in the eye of the storm. Amen, that's where them planes are being flown. Amen, because it's cold there. It's cold. Amen, in the eye of the storm. Amen, I'm glad I know the eye of the storm today. Amen, I'm glad I know the one where there's calm. I'm glad. And I know the one that can make the storm a calm. Amen. They can still the waves and bring it quiet. Amen. To the situations that we're in. I thought about this. Our God calls the storm. Amen. I noted in the text the grace of the calm. Amen. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Look back in verse 28. Amen. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Amen. When their soul is melting. Amen. When they're reeling to and fro. Amen. When they're staggering about and at their wits' end. Amen. Then they cry unto the Lord. Amen. When it's got beyond all they can handle. Amen. Then they cry unto the Lord. Amen. When it looks like they're going down for the last time. Amen. Then they cry unto the Lord. Amen. Oh, they should have cried before that. They should have been counting on him before that. Amen. But somehow they got their eyes off him. Amen. But when it looked like, friend, like the worst outlook could be. Amen. Then they cried, and the Lord heard them cry. And the Lord came to them and saved them and delivered them out of their distress. What do you call that? I call that grace. Amen. I call that the grace of the call. Amen. If we got what we deserve, amen, this morning, amen, the storm would swallow us up. Amen. If we got what we deserve today, amen, the storm on a man, friend, ought to do us in. We ought to be destroyed. Amen. We ought to be left to ourselves to do the best we can, which would surely end in our demise. Amen. But I'm glad I've learned enough through this Christian journey of life. Amen. Sailing on the old ship is ahead. Amen. He said, get in the boat, go to the other side. Amen. I'm telling you, all I can do is launch out and do the best I can. Amen. But I'm glad when it gets bigger than me. I'm glad when the trouble that took this man trip, amen, is greater than what I can bear. And I cry out to the Lord, and in grace, there is mercy, and there is help, and there is God in faith because of the call that is to you. You ain't listening. You don't deserve the call. Amen. And I'm telling you, you can't pay it, you can't earn it, you can't marry it. Amen. If there's any calm to end any storm and any calm from any storm, amen, you'll have to fall down on your knees and say, thank you, Lord. Amen. For the grace that has calmed this storm.
Amen.
The grace and the calm. I see the greatness of the calm. Say, what do you mean? Amen. He didn't just say that he maketh the storm a calm. He uses several words. Brother Ronnie, he says calm, he says still, and in verse number 30, he said quiet. The storm is loud. The storm, my friend, is raging. The storm, my friend, is great. And in fact, in the storms of the Lord's earthly life and ministry the disciples went through, you'll find oftentimes that, and to describe those storms, the Bible say a great storm or a great wind. Amen. And yet, my friend, it doesn't matter how great the storm is. Amen. Our God can send the great calm. Amen. Have you ever been there when the winds quit blowing and the waves quit crashing? Have you ever been there, my friend, through the midst of the tempest? Amen. You cried out to God and somehow you felt overwhelmed. And somehow you felt like it never come through. Amen. Somehow you felt like the sun would never shine again. Amen. Only to find that God had stepped in, and however great your storm was, amen, the calm was even greater than the storm. Amen. I'm telling you, somebody ought to give a sacrifice of thanksgiving today over the fact that our God calms the storms. The grace and the greatness, but and there's the gladness of the call. The Bible said, amen, that when the Lord steps in and calls, amen, making a storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still, then are they glad because they be quiet.
Amen.
You know what the psalmist said? He said, it's hard to be too glad when you just hanging on the side of the boat, trying to keep your guts on the inside. He said, but if our God commands it, you can thank Him through that. When He brings the calm, the storm passes and the birds begin to sing and the sun begins to shine and the waves begin to settle down, He said, then are they glad. Amen. The gladness for the calm that. And we're glad is a Hebrew word we give a lot of times preaching. Amen. They just said it means to brighten up. Amen. It brings you through the dark storm. And thank God there's a brighter day ahead. Amen. When the sun shines, brighten up, child of God. Amen. You say, preacher, I ain't there yet. Well, just remember He commands the storm. And maybe this morning you just go ahead and thank Him on credit. Amen. That He's the God that does calm the storm. Amen. He calmed the last one you went through. Amen. He calmed the last 10 storms you've been through. Amen. And you can rest assured that our God, He's a God that had for Him to calm this city. Amen. Whether on this side or on the other side, our God calms the storm. And there's a gladness on the other side. Amen. There's a gladness to thank God that through the tempest. Amen. Knowing that just any day now He can calm the storm.
Amen.
In fact, I noted there. Amen. And that call came. Brother Larry, it came from one verse into the next.
Yes.
One verse, they're up and down, in and out, puking their guts up, and think they're going to die. The very next verse, He maketh the storm a calm. Amen. You say, preacher, I've been in this storm a long time. Amen. I feel like it ain't ever going to end. Amen. Our God commands your storm. Amen. But He calls your storm, and it may be. Amen. It may not even be the next chapter. It may not be the next book. It may be the very next verse in life that God possess hands of promise today.
Yes.
And our God commands the storm and our God calms the storm.
Hey.
Last of all, and I'm done, verse number 30. Our God concludes the storms. Say, what do you mean? Notice how verse 30 ends. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Get the boat, let's go to the other side. Yes, sir, Lord, we'll launch out. Don't care what's coming, ain't all we just want to do is follow the Lord and do what he says. Amen. Ain't it funny, my friend, we got saved, started this journey with hope. Amen. On our dark days and stormy days, we're behind us. It's going to be smooth sailing on into eternity only to find out. Amen. In the middle of all this thing called Christianity. Amen. Some of the greatest storms we've ever faced, we've encountered. Amen. But oh, we thank God anyway. Believe it. And he commands the storms. And along the way we've learned. Amen. Our God calms the storms. Amen. But may I say through the tempest. Amen. There is a promise that, amen, is greater than the storm. Yeah. Amen. There is a statement we've been given from our Savior. And it's greater than anything the winds can say. And that is, let us pass over unto the other side. Amen. We've got a desired hand. We have a determined destination we're going to win. Amen. I don't know how deep the waters will get between here and there. I don't know how great the storms we will encounter. Amen. Between here and there. Amen. I don't know how much water the boat's going to take on. I don't know how tattered out the sails are going to get. Amen. But I know this. The psalmist said, amen, you can rest assured, he's going to bring me under there and desire and hate me. Amen. That place, amen, are looking forward. That place, amen, spied last year on the sea. That cry they've been waiting to hear. Land ho! Land ho! Amen. The psalmist said, amen, somebody ought to give them a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Oh, there's coming a day, the old sinner's head. Amen, she's a making in the haven of the last ship. Amen, there's a sail, the stormy seas are laughing here. Amen, save, save, save the lost soul. Hallelujah. He concludes the storms. You say, preacher, my Christian life has been from one storm to the next. But ain't God proved he's in charge? Ain't God proved he's in command? Ain't God proved he'd give a call when it seems like there ain't one? Amen. Then same God has promised. Amen. Amen. Going to the other side. And them storms, they just move us along. Them storms, they bring us a few more nautical miles closer. Amen. And one of these days, amen, the captain of the ship, he gonna say, land ho, land ho, land ho. Amen. The haven of rest is just inside. Our desired haven. Desired haven. Amen. A desired haven. Amen. Old Charlie Ann, she's on the other side. Just a second. Just a few more miles. Amen. Old Brother Jennings is on the other side. Sister Janine just said, amen, just a little while longer, Janine. Say no. Say no. Say no. It's a desire, amen. It's worth the storm. It's worth all you encounter. It's greater than you even imagine. Keep your eyes on the desired haven. No, one of these days, your God's going to bring you to that place. Amen. Oh, I'm glad we serve a good God today. Say, preacher, are you excited today? I'm so excited I can't stand it. Can't stand it today. Amen. No, you say, preacher, you've been through some storms. I'm telling you, I've been through some storms, and I used to think when I first got saved, you know, it's going to be pretty smooth sailing. Didn't take me long to learn better. Then I got thinking, well, these are just the hard knocks all young Christians got to go through. It'll get better. There'll be less storms the further we know. You know what I've learned? There's more storms, and they get more and more intense. These times, Gerald, our soul is so melted. So we look around and see how dark it gets. Wonder what in the world, how we going to do it. Somewhere in the depths of my soul, I can't explain it. I'm not the poster child for it. I have pity parties just like everybody does. And these times we just feel like we're going to drown. Yet somehow, every now and then, the Holy Ghost will lift your ass up. Hey. Amen. Like old Stephen said, amen, I've seen Jesus stand there. Amen. You all know how amen, Stephen died with glory in his soul. Amen. He was in a storm. He died in a storm. But, amen. He died thanking God. You want to know why? Amen. He could see the desire came to. Amen. Is this world what it's all this? Amen. All this and all we have here, you know, is going to be left behind. We're headed. John said, we're headed. You may sail the deep waters. Amen. You may be sailing deep, deep waters in your Christian life. Can I give you a promise? John said, in that new heaven and new earth, he said, I saw no more sea. There ain't no more deep waters on the other side. There ain't no more deep waters. There ain't no more storms. Amen. If there ain't no more storms, there ain't no wind. If there ain't no wind, there ain't no jeopardy. Amen. You say, what is that? It's just one long, cold day. Hallelujah, child of God, say on, say on, say on. And while you're saying, thank God, that He's a God. And He said, I'll conclude the storms in your life. Say, oh, preacher, if God would just take the storm away today, I'd sure shout and thank Him. Oh, no. Amen. Because if He took it away today, you'll face another tomorrow. You're going to have to get your ass further than what's on here. Amen. Thank God today for the fact that He commands the storms, He calms the storms. Amen. One of these days, and Brother Gerald, I believe it soon.
Yes, sir.
I believe it soon. All storms are going to be passed.
Amen.
I can't even remember that song. There's a line in the song that says, storms forever past. Storms forever past. Anybody know that song I'm talking about? Amen. Y'all don't know it either. I'm about out of my mind happy right now. Let's stand together thanking God through the tempest.